Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Blog Talk Radio, Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together every week, or almost every week, to talk about what's going on in this and how that's reflected on the Earth. My name is Mark Waltz, I'm New York City,
and I'm this is Heather Rowan Robbins from Ronan, Montana. So I was recently in New York City, and
we had dinner together Friday night at my house. And this is Ann Ortley, also in New York City, at the Bright Red Desk.
I got home about one o'clock in the morning. Yep.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes. Yep.
And you're still awake.
Considering, almost. And considering this week's transits, it's rather a miracle that we're all alive and well. I had a client, we've all been looking, audience out there, at that Mars square Pluto that was exact over the weekend. With Pluto stationary, turning direct after a long retrograde, and Mars about to go into Scorpio. And that is a really difficult combination. And Pluto recently squared the nodes and all kinds of exciting things. So I've had two clients that described a work experience where one was their whole department was fired, and another one where it felt like it was like a terrorist raid. Things that had been brooding for a long time suddenly came out and got them. But I got home safely, and not everybody's going through that. So, Mark, have you noticed have you felt that anywhere in your life or seen that coming to fruition this week?
Mostly in power plays. It's interesting that Mars squared Pluto, and then Mars went on from Libra into Scorpio, where he's very strong. And the first thing he did in Scorpio was trine Saturn. Was over in Pisces, 1 degree of Pisces. So it took some of that square energy of Mars to Pluto, linked it to structures and authority and sort of higher authorities we can appeal to. So that's where that goes. And it means it can be some reconciliation of...
We hope.
What came up, but we hope. But it doesn't seem like it with the Mars square Pluto.
Right.
But it's a good sign to carry that energy on into the trine to Saturn.
Right. That's good.
So in your life, look for where you can tie it in to what hasn't changed. There are deeper structures ruled by Saturn.
What's mature and professional.
Is blown apart.
Right.
Yep.
And how are you seeing it?
A lot of people having really hard times, people getting fired around them. Got a couple texts about that. Had people really working on really deep emotions. A lot of relationship drama, I did a couple of elections over the weekend for people that were ending things. And I was like, don't do it on the moon opposite Pluto. Do it when the moon goes into Leo at night, because it'll be a little easier. It's still going to end it, but it's not as, it's got a closing aspect of a sextile to Mars rather than a pounding energy. Of course, the invasion and the terrorist attack in Israel was on the moon opposite Pluto in Cancer, setting off that. And I guess, they were hunting people down and there were children killed. There was a big party at the beach or in the desert celebrating, because it is a Jewish holiday, celebrating the holidays. So quite a few people are kidnapped also. So, not a pleasant sky. And Bernadette Brady had written in her, the eclipse that we're having. She has this great book called The Eagle and the Lark, and she has a description of each of the eclipses. And the eclipse that we're working with now is the Saros cycle, Saros series number 7, which started in 1248 off the South Pole, and it's heading north. And it has a Pluto-Mars aspect in it. So it says, the immense power, anger, and force of the Mars square Pluto is channeled through this family of eclipses via the trine. The individual experiencing this series will find that huge obstacles will suddenly and easily clear, or, on the negative side, a pending potential crisis will suddenly manifest and move through his or her life very rapidly. Either way, the individual will feel that everything is moving at great speed. So it's a really interesting energy, you know, and of course we lost the Speaker of the House last week, and they're meeting to have the elections for the new Speaker as Pluto stations at the last, you know, at the degree that McCarthy came in on, you know, Pluto stationing at 2751, and I think the other one's 2753 as Pluto station. So it was, you know, he got the job, and I remember thinking, oh, he's got this for about 9 months, you know, back when he was elected. And I was right. I mean, there's sometimes sometimes I want to be a fixed clock, right, twice a day, you know. But it also, you know, I kind of looked at it and went, oh, and of course, on the Pluto station, he gets taken out. And a lot of times Pluto stations are war, violence. We also had a huge earthquake in Afghanistan, which has gone completely off the radar. Thousands of people killed there, you know, because they aren't going to go in and deal with the Taliban. The human relief organizations are kind of like, we don't really know how to work with these folks. So it's a really pretty violent energy, you know, up there in the heavens. So, and that Mars square Pluto, man, you know, I have great respect for it. I've actually been reading a lot of people in the last couple of days with Mars Pluto square and getting some real good stories of how that aspect had played out in their life when they were younger or different times. So it's a hard aspect. And Pluto rules the underworld, and Mars, of course, is war. And what does war do but send new denizens to the underworld? So very hard, very hard. Hard week, yeah. So, but, of course, you know, the eclipse is also a violent eclipse. So, you know, we're not done. I mean, we're not, you know, we haven't had yet. We're in the approach to the eclipse.
And one of the things
it hasn't happened.
Said,
it happens on Saturday, huh? Yeah.
But, you know, when an eclipse happens, we feel it for a month ahead of time, and we feel it for many months afterwards, that it starts a resonance. And, you know, and that's, you know, one of the things, when you see an aspect, know that it's got that orb quality. It's building up, and then it's releasing. But sometimes the most intense parts of it are right before the aspect happens, when it's building momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, I've seen some very positive surgery happen under Mars-Pluto, tough Mars-Pluto aspects, where you finally get at the root of the problem, whatever the problem is, whether it's a physical problem or it's an emotional problem. You can't say it's ever easy. I have a separating Mars-Pluto conjunction in my 12th house, right on the cusp of my 12th. And I feel like, boy, do I have memories of that from another lifetime, that echoed at earlier times in my life. It's a healing pattern from there. And with this, I saw Mars going into Scorpio. I said, when I wrote last week was, you know, whatever happens this week, no one will forget it or forgive it easily. And so you might want to really clear up any problems that you have with people before Pluto, Mars goes into Scorpio. So I say that if you've got any amends to make, make them now, make them the next couple of days, you know, just say your piece. Don't try to get them to say, okay, they forgive you, but just kind of seed it well, because anything that we're leaving undealt with will fester. And that leads me to believe that this war in the Mideast, you know, if Mark is right, that there's a chance that we can move in our problems, that we can move into that Mars-Saturn trine and use that to bring in healing and responsibility and professionalism. But I don't think that's going to happen in the Mideast. I think there's a lot of unforgivable crimes happening right now on all parts, and it's going to be a mess for a long time.
Yeah, there are a lot of deep pieces that have to put together. And that doesn't happen easily. There's probably still more taking apart to be done before putting it back.
Yeah, because Pluto goes direct, but Saturn goes direct in a couple of weeks. So,
And also, when
it's
you
interesting.
When I see a planet turn direct, particularly Mars and Pluto, when they've been retrograde, I often see plots that people have been sitting on while the planet was retrograde comes out as it stations and turns direct. So there's, you know, I remember when they used to do a lot of plane hijacking, that often happened just as Mars or Pluto went direct. Because it came out just after they'd been brooding on it for several weeks or months.
Okay. Well, and this was clearly very well coordinated also, you know. Apparently, you know, it's interesting because I hadn't really paid attention, but I've been watching a bit of news pieces on it. They have this dome, golden dome, or some kind of dome protection thing.
Yeah, Iron Dome.
So one of these images was, you know, there were all these rockets blowing up at the same time. And so it was kind of like, it was a little stunning when you saw them in the sky, but what they were trying to do was to see how many rockets they had to fire to confuse the golden dome, right, and to take it out. And I was like, wow, okay. So that implies a level of, I mean, obviously there was a lot of foresight because of the kidnappings and the shootings and the whatever, you know, do the chaos on the ground at the desert party, but then fire all those rockets to take out the golden dome or whatever it's called. I was like, oh, wow, you know. I mean, I always feel a little naive on these things, you know. I have never gotten it. I have never gotten into scary movies or violent movies. I just am like, why would you want to watch something like that? I don't think like that. And I don't know what it is, my Pisces moon, my Virgo sun, like, why would you do that? But when you watch something like this unfold and you go, this was thought of, this was planned, this was, you know, coordinated, you know, it's not, I always find it a little mind-boggling, and I always feel a little foolish on some level. Not in a stupid way, but like who would think like that? And it's kind of like, oh, okay, that was the strategy. And I mean, obviously, I never went to war. You know, they have war college and they teach you the art of war. And I did read Sun Tzu's Art of War way, way back when, because, you know, everybody said read it as a business thing. And I thought, I would never do any of this shit, you know. But it always stuns me. It always stuns me. So
there was one description of granddaughter, whose grandmother, beloved grandmother, lived in a kibbutz, which got raided, and someone came in, shot her grandmother dead, took her phone, took pictures of it, and loaded it up to her Facebook page.
Wow.
And you know, that's not forgivable. You know, those.
Wow.
Those are, because it's gone beyond just, you know, a war. And it was designed to be a terrorist attack. I don't want to get into the sides because you can't get back to the origins of the Middle East war because you can go back 4,000 years. But so one thing I noticed when I was doing deep dive history, like when did these aspects happen, looking back the last 5,000 years, there was no time that there wasn't a war in the Mideast. You know, and not for more than a year or two at a time. And it feels like, you know, that's, you know, there are many wonderful people who live there. And if a soul has to deal with conflict, it may be that they choose to go to the Mideast to work it through. But there is, you know, they kind of those countries define themselves by the war.
Well, I remember when Afghanistan, when we were going through that and reading history on that, and it was like France, Russia, you know, Afghanistan's like, you don't rule them, You know, it's they're very tribal. You can you come in, you take your you come to my country at your peril. At the same time, I remember back in the '80s, I was working at USAID. You know, doing we were keeping track of. I worked in the vector biology control project for USAID, which is a tracking system for veneer diseases all around the world: dengue fever, malaria, whatever. And there was this wonderful Afghan restaurant in the area, Crystal City, and one of the guys had spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and he was talking about the Afghan people and the pride of them and the country and the pursuit of liberty and the freedom and the whole tribal nature. And so it definitely is a tribal part of the world, too. And I think, you know, when we have... When you look at the lines, you know, like you look at the United States, our states are defined by the rivers, where the rivers flow and where the mountains are. And when you look at the Middle East, it's got these lines drawn through it that are straight. There's no straight lines in nature, but it was because of its kind of conflictual, the conflictual energy that comes in there and forms over and over again the different countries and the different tribal energies. So it's a... And I know when I've stopped teaching the Chart of Israel, because every time you bring that chart up, there's like a fighting. I mean, it's a very fierce chart, but there's a very strong fight, and people start to fight over the chart. And I'm like, I don't know, you know, I've learned not to teach the Chart of Israel. We'll look at something else. You know, I mean, obviously I was looking at it today, but it's a very fierce country, and of course it was founded, you know, with a never again. Motto, like we're never again going to be annihilated. So it's got a fierceness to it, but of course it's surrounded by people that want to kill it. So it's a rough. I like that, Heather, that they come back into that section because they're working out war. I did have a past life in Turkey where I did that. You know, so I know of I know of a past life in that area.
Where you were pretty fierce.
Yeah, I was very fierce. Yeah. And there was another one in the Crusades that I was in that area too. So I've gone to fight in that area a couple of times, but this lifetime I'm just kind of a fat astrologer on the Upper East Side. You know?
You handle other people's conflicts rather than being.
I hear about conflicts and talk about how to resolve them. You know. So,
Right, based on many lifetimes of experience.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's why I just kind of go, really? What did they do? So, yeah.
So it's a prayer for a miracle that somehow the sides can move past this, because one of the things that the Middle East has proved is war does not solve, it's a temporary hold. It does not solve the problem. And it doesn't matter who's doing the disrespecting, as long as there's disrespect, it's going to keep happening. And which is prayers for a healthy life ahead. I can't imagine how, but a healthy life ahead. Tomorrow morning, Venus opposes Saturn, and so that's work is love. Love is a lot of work. How do you work may be cramping your love life. How do we see it through in a good way? The moon goes into Virgo early in the morning tomorrow.
And it opposes Saturn, too.
It does. It opposes Saturn by 10:06 Eastern. And, you know, but then the moon conjuncts Venus, because Venus is opposed Saturn. They're both doing their old dance. So it's going to be an interesting lineup. But we can get a lot done tomorrow. We can be a very healing time if we want it to be. But if you don't have something to do, it's also a time to sit around and worry, because the moon in Virgo can bring out the worry in anybody. And we ask you just to kind of keep it directed.
Well, give it a job to do or a problem to solve, you know?
Right.
You know how, like, I always feel better when I'm worried. If I go do dishes or I cook or I do some, you know, some kind of project with my hands, keep me busy. I can't do needlepoint or something like that because I can still stew, but if it's something I have to chop and pay attention, I don't cut off my finger, I tend to be more focused, Give it a job. Give it a job. Give Venus a job. So, and the moon a job. And Venus is in Virgo now for a while. So all the Libra planets and the Taurus planets shift. They've been listening to Venus in Leo for 4 months. And Venus in Virgo is like, okay, we have to get to work now. And so all the Libra planets suddenly have Venus and Libra as their boss, as do the Taurus, Jupiter, and Uranus have Venus as her boss. And then Mars is still in Libra for a couple more days. So he has the Aries planets that he's in charge of, including the North Node. They're answering to Venus in Virgo. So Venus in Virgo is ruling the roost. And she is she's a virago on a bad day. Uh-huh. She's a little bossy. Uh-huh. I always like that word, virago. I'm like, what does that mean? Somebody called me that once. And I thought, oh, I should look that up. And I thought, I think I'm insulted. But I am a little bossy. But
a dominated, violent, or bad-tempered woman. Yes. That's what it says.
Right. I know, but it's, you know, it's kind of like it was a bad installation. What can I say? So. And I was not happy, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, that Venus and Virgo, I'm seeing a lot of jokes about cleaning houses. And, you know, we were saying that Virgos don't necessarily like to clean. They can, you know, binge. It can be very satisfying. But they do know where all the dirt is. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to do anything about it. But Venus and Virgo can be powerfully healing. And it is also, if you, you know, I have Venus in Virgo. If you want to use Venus in Virgo to feel with compassion and the connection for all sentient beings and feel what needs to be healed and fixed and loved, that's a beautiful side of it. If you want to distance yourself, the Venus in Virgo defense is to fault find and I can see what's wrong with anything.
Yeah.
And to notice that fault-finding energy that might come up is very much a defense. It's not necessarily the reality. Now, Venus and Mercury are now in mutual reception. Venus, you know, Venus and Libra, Mercury and Libra and Venus and Virgo. So good words can do a lot. I mean, that's, again, I think what can save us in our small lives from the explosions that might have happened over the weekend or will happen now through Thursday, to kind of lean into the tact. See if you can find the words that help everybody feel heard and like everybody has an equal stake in the future, and whether it's a relationship issue or something else. And if you find your tail is twitching, take yourself out of the room for a few minutes.
Right. I like that tail twitching because Venus is Virgo is also the land of small pets and small animals. So, and you can pet the dog or brush the cat, you know, the cat hair, keep the hairballs down. But yeah, you know, and do self care, you know, clean out those, clean out that medicine cabinet of yours, and you know, get that skin brush out and brush that dead skin off of you, you know, because Virgo wants to make it better, and also recognize there are dirty Virgos too. Where they have little piles of things that, to your point, Heather, they know where the dirt is. They know where the dirty piles are. They're like, yeah, I know where that is, you know.
And sometimes
but that doesn't mean,
knowing where it is a good way to point at who should clean it up. Doesn't have to be me. I know where the dirt is. I'll tell you to clean it.
I know where the dirt is, And then sometimes you hire people that are really good at cleaning things or thinking of things that you hadn't thought of in a really long time. Oh, yeah, there would be dust up there. I have this wonderful person who's helping me organize and throw things away, and her name is Joni Pope. And I have planets hanging in my bedroom, right, you know, and from the ceiling. I have the solar system. I have it set up like my chart. You know, all the planets above me are my chart that I sleep under. She got up there on a ladder and cleaned the planets. Now, I think those planets have been up there 20 years. When I painted the bedroom pink, I think, is when I hung them. And they have not been, I can tell you, I haven't dusted them in 20 years. And my cleaning lady is probably about 5'2", and she doesn't do heights. Joni keeps going up high and cleaning off the top of the bookcases. And she got up and cleaned the top of the planets off.
What's her chart like?
Well, I'm not going to say it on air, but she's good at work. She worked for a while for Martha Stewart. I'll just say that. So there's an affinity there with old Martha. And, you know, so if you know Martha's chart, you'll get an idea what Joni's is like. But yeah, the energy is very much organizing, cleaning, and I have a better way.
Seen, that Virgos collect a lot. And I've seen many other signs that are much, that, you know, Aries like everything clean and organized. You know, Ren can be ruthless about putting things away, but not where I can find them, so I get ticked off. But there is, you know, that there are other signs that keep, you know, that they like the spareness of a very clean and organized space where everything is put away. Virgos like things where you can see them most of the time.
I have a lot of piles.
It won't necessarily be neat.
You move. I've got it on a pile, and you hide it on me. I get a little cranky. One time I had an organizer named Thea, and she was like, "Oh, Anne, the piles mean you're creative." I'm like, "I like you," because you have them out so you can see them. I'm like, "I like that. That's a good way to say why I have my piles." You know, makes me creative. Thanks, Thea. You know, so yeah, all good, all good. Mm-hmm. But it's a wild week, folks, and the eclipse is this weekend. And the other thing to remember is the eclipse is on a world point. 22 Libra is a world point. And the other thing to remember is there's a lot of planets. This is the conjunction point of the 1982, the 1982 conjunction in Saturn and Pluto. So that, of course, was Reagan and the Iran-Contra stuff. So we're seeing Iran back in the news because that was the Iran business. So that entered because they're, you know, they're funding Hezbollah and Hamas. So anyway, that, you know, so it's back to the future kind of thing. So that 82, and also if you had a big event in your life in 82, 83, this is activating it because it's bringing it up emotionally for you on a deeper level. You know, so, you know, I have a family member who's not well, and in 82, my mother got diagnosed with cancer and died, you know, 5 months, and so I said to another family member, you know, this might be the last Christmas. We need to maybe get together. So we're having a big family Christmas this year because of the family member that's not well. So, you know, I was thinking about that when I was looking at the aspects. I'm like, oh, this is like 82 again, because it really was the end of my nuclear family that year with my mother dying. So so that's the energy for those of you who are a little older. Those of you who were born in 82 or after, you can ignore that. But ask your parents what was happening. You were born. But, yeah, so it's a really interesting sky. And the eclipses are potent. And then this is the new moon eclipse. It also traces... It's coming from the south equator, from the eclipses start at the bottom of the Earth or start at the top. So this is a southern eclipse. It rises from the south up and heads to the North Pole. And the North Node eclipses start at the North Node and head down to the South Pole. So this is a south eclipse, which means it runs across Venezuela and across Central America into the United States and up out through Oregon. So it's got a... it's got an interesting energy in terms of the way it flows, in terms of how we see it on Earth's face. And it also is tracing a little bit the eclipse that we had in 17. But this one really comes across the southern border and across South America and Central America. So it's certainly going to bring the border crisis more into our consciousness, you know, as we're, you know, over this next chunk of time. It's a biggie. And then, of course, the solar eclipse paints a little spotlight, you know, kind of like a laser beam. And then the lunar eclipse, which is the emotional processing, happens in 2 weeks on the 28th. And that one is at 7, I believe, 6 or 7, Scorpio. Uh-huh.
So we have less than a minute left. This is Heather Rowan Robin saying goodbye from Ronan, Montana, and I wish you all the best this week, and play it safe whenever you can. And Mark?
Yes, be safe. This is Mark Waltz, signing off from New York.
Any wise words, Mark? Because Heather and I talked the whole time. You didn't get a word in edgewise for the eclipse.
I got a few words in.
Okay.
That Saturn... the Mars-Pluto energy. It's going to play all over the to stop it, but you can ride it.
Okay.
Yeah. And Ann Ortley at the Bright Red Desk, who was very chatty today because Venus is in Virgo. I'm like, really chatty little girl. Yeah. So.
Well, wonderful. You and everybody have a positive, safe, and healthy week. Take care.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.